What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South, Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like coffin, co-centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out to a big. Like life going often, co-centric, don't take coffin. Back in the day, coach for Dolphins. Nowadays, it's Jacks playing Martin South. AFC, white, blue, so pristine.
Welcome back to another difficult Colts cast, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, the link wasn't working, so we are replacing the link and hoping that we can get this bad boy on the road. So we are working on that right now. I'm doing it all, so we are good. We are looking live. And Jake, are you with me, my man?
Yes, sir. I'm with you.
What's up, Jake? Jake Arthur, looking live and here on the call. Jake, are you with me, Mike? Sounds like we got a bit of a delay.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me, bud? Yes, sir. I'm with you.
All right. What's up, Jake? Jake Arthur, looking live and here on the call. Jake, are you with me, Mike? Here, let me get rid of this. I got something going on here on the other end. That was my fault right there for the background noise, fellas. My fault. So, Jake... after another difficult start here, and that was my fault, to a Colts cast. We had the same issue last week on the live show for some reason. Scheduling it ahead of time apparently is not the thing to do on these on this, so we're going to have to figure out what's going on with all that. So thank you guys all for joining me here on another Colts cast, wrapping up the first official day of Colts free agency. And so there wasn't
nothing.
What
zilch. Nada. Nada.
That's about it. There wasn't a whole lot going on. And today, not much more. I mean, there just really wasn't a whole lot today either. Jake, what did the Colts do today in free agency after a really, really non-existent start in the beginning of the tampering period, my man?
Hey, what's up, bud? Sorry, I just got back in here with you. But yeah, as far as I've seen, I think they're just playing things really close to the chest, and Danico Autry is literally like the only thing that I've seen today. I saw a rumor about maybe they might be interested in Matt Slauson, who I believe was a center from Washington. But that's really it. Anyone else who they were linked to is either gone or I haven't heard anything else of substance. You know, you've kind of heard some defensive linemen rumored out there, Adrian Claiborne, and then you've got Sheldon Richardson and Dontari Poe. But really not hearing much of substance with that yet. Maybe we will tomorrow with it being an entire full day with talks being legal and, you know, contract talks and signings and all that actually being allowed now. So maybe we'll hear a little more.
Yeah, it wasn't much. There wasn't anything going on. I mean, what was the one Jensen? That was about, you know, just about it. And it just, I'm kind of curious. I know that fans are a little curious too. I mean, this isn't really turning out the way we expected it to. No, look. I'm totally on board with not just draining all of our cap space. But, man, are you surprised as I am that? Literally one signing that we know of to this point. Did you expect more than that? I mean, even a little more?
I think so, just because there were a couple areas that they could have addressed where there were really good players. But if I remember correctly, last year things started out really quietly and really slow also. We maybe expected a little more, and I think we were kind of sitting in this exact same boat last year. Not for sure, but I think Bartivius Mingo was like the only thing that happened, you know, the evening when free agency opened. So, you know, cautious optimism, maybe some more stuff will come tomorrow. But I don't expect many splashes. There's not many splashes out there to make. Maybe they get someone from the front seven, but I think everyone they go for is going to be a role player, and it's probably going to be a smart contract like we saw with Autry today, where there's really only one season of any guaranteed money.
Right. And I get that too. I mean, the splashes aren't there. But last year you said, I mean, it started out slow. I think everything started out slow last year, right? It wasn't just the Colts. I think everybody kind of did. That's why Sheard was still available. Simon was one that, you know, had been kind of, I think, under, you know, one of the guys that was being looked at, I think, by the Colts almost immediately. I'm just really curious as to why all of this is just look, anybody else. We're not like I said, we're not talking about draining the cap. But what am I'm talking at least about Norwell. How is 15, 16 million not the design to go get the best guard in his mid-20s, in his prime? How's that not at the top of the list for Chris Ballard? I mean, I don't understand that. I really don't. I think that's the one. You don't go out and get a fancy little playmaker if you don't want to. That's fine, because a lot of guys like Hitchens and I mean, hell, even Moncrief, you know, apparently from his deal's not official yet, but apparently from what he's supposed to be getting from the Jaguars, nobody wants to pay him $10 million. There's a reason that the Colts let him go for sure, and that's because he wasn't putting up his end of the bargain. Hitchens got 90 a year. I mean, there was a lot of big contracts. But the one I feel like you should have spent some money on was Norwell. Now, if the Colts tried to spend the money and Norwell was just like, look, I'm just not interested, you know, that's fine. It still sucks we didn't get him. I mean, this isn't even to bash Ballard by any means. This isn't even to complain about him in any way, shape, or form. This is all simply about the fact that we didn't get him. That's all it is. We just didn't get him, and that sucks.
Yeah, I would agree. That was one guy who I really didn't care how much it was going to cost. It's just obviously critical that they address the offensive line this offseason. And it's kind of with a by whatever means necessary attitude. I'm not a big free agency guy, especially when it comes to guys who are older. But I would have been totally fine with adding Josh Sitton, who I think is like 32 years old. They have to fix the line. It's not an option this year. They can't mess around. They get cute, draft a bunch of guys. They have to have a solution for it this year. Because if they're lucky enough to get Andrew Luck back for the upcoming season, they can't have him being even in the top five most hit, most sacked guys. They have to see an improvement, and you know Jim Irsay demands that as well. How could he not?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it has to be done. Now, the Colts are obviously sitting at three, right, Jake? So we're looking at the possibility that the Colts are going to move back and get a few draft picks. That's aware, okay? That seems like that's a legitimate plan, right? So still, how many are they going to get? Maybe a couple – few extra max, I think, right? I mean, I think that's pretty reasonable to assume that three picks might be the max on whatever.
I would imagine they wouldn't get any more than three, yeah.
Right. So if that's the case, are the Colts really going to, I mean, and then let's even, it's only nine at that point because they're just getting another first round pick for whatever they're moving back for. In my opinion, getting a second first round pick isn't by any means a guarantee. So let's assume that it's an added two additional picks. That's nine picks. The Colts are still going to have a very, very young roster with all of this. And it looks like the Colts are even getting younger. You know, obviously, Kamar Aiken's not getting re-signed. Frank Gore's not getting re-signed. It doesn't look like Rashad Melvin is necessarily going to be re-signed. He's not moving very fast. I told, like, our listeners the other night, I would kind of assume that he's going to be similar to an Eric Walden thing, although I don't think he'll be out quite as long as Walden by any means, to be quite honest. But my point was that the league knows who Melvin is. He had a great year last year, but it was kind of a one-year deal with him that he's had. Everything else has been, you know, minimal, if anything, contributor at best, his role within any team he's been on. And he got hurt. He hasn't finished the season. So the league knows what he is, so maybe that's what's kind of keeping his negotiations maybe at a standstill type, or at least one where he's not going to be getting a ton of money.
Yeah, I'm starting to think, especially now that Oakland and Green Bay, especially Oakland, since they're interested in Melvin, that defense has needed help for a while, and I'd be willing to bet that they'll be okay with overpaying for Melvin. And I think we know good and well that Ballard is not going to overpay for Melvin. He had to talk himself into even liking him when he took the job. I don't know if you saw that that quote where Ballard said he did not like Rashawn Melvin initially, and he wound up growing on him. So I don't see him overpaying for him. I think at this point, if either Melvin or Pierre Desir was going to be back, it's probably definitely going to be Desir.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that makes sense. I'm just still kind of hoping that, you know, maybe they're gonna do something. I have no problem with them doing either one, to be quite honest with you. But I think that the Colts need to make sure that they're, you know, trying to keep some of the guys who are familiar at least with the building. The, you know, obviously nobody's really familiar with the coaching staff, but just in general, everybody's gonna have to have some sort of familiarity. I mean, that helps. We'll put it that way. Guys, we're going to get to your guys' calls here in just a moment. First, I want to tell you guys about my man, Mike. Colts fans, are you in the market to buy or sell your home? If so, Mike Earnest of Earnest Realty Group is the guy to go to. Mike and his real estate team of professionals are experts in the greater Indianapolis real estate market, and they have helped people just like you achieve their real estate goals. Listen, folks, when it comes to buying or selling your home, knowledge is power. You need a professional on your team that can help you navigate the home buying or selling process. You need someone who can negotiate the best deal for you. Mike Earnest is that guy. He's a true pro, knocks it out of the park every time. He's received numerous industry awards for being a leader in the Indianapolis real estate market. When it comes to buying or selling a home, don't get burned by amateurs. Hire a professional. Whether you live in Indy or any of the surrounding communities, the Earnest Realty Group can help. Call Mike Earnest at 317-285-9691 or find him online at homeprosindy.com. Again, that's 317-285-9691 or homeprosindy.com. Jake, let's open up the Earnest Realty Group hotline here if people are hearing us. So from the 931, what's going on in your podcast? You there? All right, we're going to move on. He didn't have much to say. From the 317, yeah. Colts.
Is this me?
Yeah, it's you.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, man. Thanks for calling in. What's going on? What are your thoughts so far?
I've been watching everything, and I think people are starting to overreact a little bit because Ballard told us from the beginning, you know, that he's not interested in the short term. I think it's going to be a long term. I think a lot of people are freaking out about Luck and bringing him back, but people don't realize, I mean, he's only 28, and he's probably got anywhere between 6 to 10 quality years of football left. I think it's going to be a few year project for us to get back to where we used to be. Even when Luck was first on the team and drafted, those first couple of years when we were going 11-5. And at this point, everything Ballard's shown us is that we're trading that third pick. I'm more likely to Buffalo for, I'd say the 12, the 22nd, one of their seconds and the third. And he's just going to build through the draft. I mean, I think that's a good haul as it is, because even falling back to 12, there's a chance that we can pull someone, maybe Davenport if they want another pass rusher, but I'm all about building the line.
Jake, what are your thoughts, brother?
Yeah, I'll have to defer to you on that one.
I mean, look, man, it's a weird start. I mean, it's just I don't even really know how to respond to it, because we just haven't done anything yet, and there's so many needs and there's so many holes. I mean, caller, what are your own thoughts on it? I mean, I guess that's the best way to figure it out. What is your initial thought process of the one pick? Nothing else coming really to life here.
I mean, I was really upset we didn't get Norwell. I think that was one of the guys we actually reached out on, that and Sammy Watkins, from everything that I read. I mean, and I'm happy that we're not being linked to a bunch of guys and missing on them. It's only been those two big guys we missed on. And I understand Norwell went where the money was. And in Florida, there's no state tax. I think that's what his deciding factor was. But I'm just glad that we're not reaching out to all these people and no one's not wanting to come to Indy. It's just Ballard's being very reserved with who he's handing money out to.
I would agree with that. like I said a little earlier, I don't think Ballard is really willing to overpay for anybody. Like, look at Anthony Hitchens. I think we were kind of all in the boat of if we thought there was one free agent from another team that was coming here, it was him. And then I believe he signed for like $9 million a year, which seemed pretty high. I guarantee you that was just too rich for Ballard. And, you know, he's just not going to overpay for guys he doesn't think are worth it. And, I mean, other teams are just willing to do it. So it makes the Colts, I guess, look bad and like they're not willing to spend. And I don't think it's that. I don't think there are certain guys who are willing to take the type of contracts that the Colts like to dole out to veterans in free agency. They like to do very low risk, you know, front loaded contracts, and they're just not willing to shell out a ton for it. And I just think that's what makes it look like everything is moving so slowly. But I wouldn't be surprised if we do hear more things tomorrow. Like, I'm sure Ballard and everybody, they've got these guys ready to be signed, you know, probably tomorrow or the day after. Like, I hadn't heard a thing about Danico Autry, and news broke about the Colts signing him almost as soon as 4 o'clock came around when they would be able to sign him. So I would imagine there will be some more minor surprises tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's pretty similar to just the thought process. We haven't heard anything about anything, and then, like you said, Jake, we get this Autry signing, and it just seems very just kind of out of left field. I think that a lot of Raiders fans were happy or wanted to keep him around and were hoping to keep him around. But in the end, it really just turned out, you know, that the Colts get a guy that nobody was talking about. So they're talking about that this guy's a solid pass rusher. Didn't play a ton last year, and was still pretty productive. So, I mean, I think that's good. Obviously, if you're looking for depth, rotational pieces, if it's competition, whatever it is. But the thing and it's hard to even call an offensive lineman a playmaker. But even as a defensive lineman, this guy's not a playmaker. Give me Norwell. That dude is. It just was such an important signing, I thought. And I'm going to pat about this until the end, and I couldn't care less who has a problem with it. I don't see, even if it wasn't Norwell, why don't we have an offensive lineman kind of short up? Didn't the Colts put out enough feelers to a couple of the quality guys? Maybe, like I said at the beginning, maybe the Colts just aren't the destination that people, you know, would want to go to. Right now in this rebuild, maybe they want to be a contender, which would probably make us understand why we see that, you know, the Browns are just packing everything full. The Jaguars were only a step away from moving on last year. They're packing full. The Eagles are making a ton of moves. You know, those are contenders, I think, legitimately, not only, the Vikings, so on and so forth, you know, and I think that's kind of where we're at right here. The Colts are definitely not contenders right now. Yes, we think, and everybody thinks, and I stress thinks, that Andrew Luck will be back next year. We don't know that. Teams don't know that. Players don't know that. And they want to go to a team that's, you know, got a young quarterback and that is ready to go. This might be forced to be a long, drawn-out draft-by-draft process, whether Ballard wanted it to be or not.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, and maybe it's a thing, too, where they're playing it by ear to see how Luck is if he comes back and he's good, because then we still have a lot of money turned over for next year. And I know there's quite a few big names that could come up next year in free agency. I don't like looking that far into the future as a fan, but, I mean, sometimes you have to step back and be a realist about it. And I think it's going to take us, you know, 2 to 3 years before we're good again. I mean, if you look at the moves the AFC South made, I just don't see any way we don't finish last in the division again this year unless somehow – we get past the Texans. I just don't see it, honestly. I mean, the moves those teams are making, or they have the money to do it, and they have quality players. I think, realistically, we have one of the bottom three rosters, talent-wise, in the league, and it's going to take a lot of rebuilding to get back to where we were.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, honestly, you know, that's the way that it seems, man. So, we're going to move on, but thank you for your call, man. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you. Have a good night.
Jake, we got, I mean, is this is this bothering you in any way, shape, or form whatsoever? Because, I mean, I don't want to say this bothering me, but I just feel like we're kind of in this really long process where I feel like maybe a lot of Colts fans, and I would probably even include myself in that, I don't know if I was ready for that to be a four-year process. I was looking at more.
Yeah, and I think the Colts will be in contention quicker than people think, just because if Andrew Luck is back, he automatically makes a big difference. But that doesn't mean the team will be good. It could be just like when Andrew drug all those teams into the playoffs with not much around him. I mean, I totally believe in Ballard, and I'm not freaking out right now, but I'm not going to act like I'm not disappointed that
right.
they're – it's not even about big names either. It's just there are guys who you know are going to be good wherever they go, and especially, you know, we've studied a lot of these guys for weeks now, you
right.
know, like Norwell. Top guys you can kind of expect to not always pull them in just because they're in such high demand, but – you know, no Zach Fulton, you know, there's several layers there of guys you would have hoped to get that they so far haven't. And I don't know, there's just some positions where, you know, I'm in the same boat where I'm not a big free agent guy. I'm not a big spender. I don't want them to buy older guys. But the offensive line is a unit that can be bought. And it can improve in one off season, and the Colts need that to happen. And I mean, you can't expect offensive line draft picks to be good right away, because offensive line is one of the positions that has suffered the most from coaching and the collective bargaining agreement and things like that. It takes those players a lot longer to get good. And so I was just hoping that we would have heard more by now about the offensive line getting put together in a big way, and we just haven't. And until things like that happen, I just don't think they're going to have a complete team to put around any quarterback, let alone Luck.
Right. I mean, that kind of seems to be, you know, about the most honest approach to it. Like you said, not freaking out by any means, but most definitely, you know, got to be somewhat disappointed. There has to be one of those guys. As you mentioned, Fulton, Norwell, just whoever it is. And, you know, it just seems like we're not getting lucky in that regard. So, all right, my man from the 931, he's back. What's going on? You're on the Colts Cast.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm back. Thanks for doing what you do, you know.
Hey, no problem.
Yeah, so I kind of agree with what you guys were just saying, but I'm kind of really pessimistic. I mean, at some point, like, when is the house on fire, you know? Like, and I'm not saying the house is on fire, but, you know, there's a burning smell coming from the kitchen, because we had a head coach, and you can spin it however you want, that Kraft, you know, made promises or whatever, but we had a deal and Ballard couldn't close it. So he goes out and he finds, you know, however you want to spin it, and also ran. And he says the rivalry's back on, which sounds great.
Right.
But then we've got all these teams taking advantage of cap space by making trades, and there are trades with players and picks, you know, being thrown around like crazy. We've never seen anything like it. And we've got coaches on the staff who weren't picked by the head coach. And now we get to free agency and we have all these holes. And like you guys were saying with the offensive line, it's not like a want. We need an offensive line. And at some point, what's the plan, you know? I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, overreacting, but at some point, am I just reacting, you know?
Right.
I mean, that's, yeah.
I think so.
That's
because, I mean, look, we're in this for the most part all together. And there's definitely, you know, the majority are thinking, you know, calm down, everything will be fine. And that's fine. I mean, look, like I said, nobody's setting their house on fire because Chris Bauer's not signing 100 people. The point is,
we want
to see progress a little bit. We want to see the Colts go out and make that wise upgrade at some point in some position that makes sense. Because, look, we don't want them to build through free agency. We all understand that. We're not stupid. We get it. The point is we want there to be a supplemental addition or two. That's it. That's it. We need something to come in because you can't build entirely through the draft. I mean, that's just not realistic, of course. So if you're going to bring pieces in, you bring the 25, 26-year-old guy in who didn't leave because he sucks. The team didn't not re-sign him because he wasn't good enough. He was gone because he was going to cost a boatload of cash, and he's 25, and they couldn't keep him because of the way their salary cap was, and I'm talking about Norwell in particular. Like I said, that's only for instance, because we don't know what the negotiations, if any, were like. And so without thinking that in that direction, the point is that we just want to see the Colts make a couple additions, a couple picks. I mean, look, last year, when the Colts were in free agency, had the Colts brought in just Sheard and let me see, maybe another, you know, even an offensive lineman in that one, I think that the fact that they had released and cut so many guys would probably negate this statement. But what I think you'll get what I'm saying. If they'd have just brought in those two guys and still had some needs, I think that most people would have been fairly happy just to have a couple younger guys that are have proven themselves in the league that can shore up a hole or two, you know, and that's kind of how I feel now. I mean, I think that most people feel that way. It's okay that they're not going crazy. Nobody wants them to do that, but we also want to see something progressing.
Yeah. It's just like when I see this is, I want to get this in, you know, before you move on. The one thing that really gets me is Carlos Hyde. Because he goes to Cleveland for, you know, $5 million a year, like I understand if you don't think he's, you know, great, but he's a legitimate starting running back, and that helps Luck too. You know, having a present running game, you know, helps protect him. And I see moves like that, and I'm just left scratching my head, like, What is the plan if, you know, a deal like that is left on the table, especially when you look at what Jerick McKinnon got?
Right. Yeah.
And that's all I got.
Something I was kind of thinking about is we do know, because we've heard reports in the last year, you know, 2017 free agency and this one, that they have been interested in some of these top-tier free agents, and, you know, they haven't closed the deal on any of them. I think they're probably just taking a safe approach. You know, they're not willing to throw the bank at some of these guys like the others are. And then so I think their mindset is probably, you know, if we strike out on these big-name guys that we know we're only, you know, cautiously approaching, then they're fine, Dan, and rather than adding two or three guys, they'll go and grab 5, 6, 7 mid-tier guys to build competition. And, you know, maybe they don't have top-level guys now, but now they at least have consistent competitive guys. Like, Jabal Sheard and John Simon weren't top-level guys. But, you know, they more than definitely added competition to the defense. And I think that is always probably going to be their fallback plan in free agency, you know. Take a couple swings at some high-level guys. If you don't get them, you know, add a bunch of guys who will at least make your roster competitive then. And I think maybe by this time next week, we might feel a lot better about things than what we do right now.
Yeah, I think that's possible.
At least I'm hoping.
Yeah, I think so.
I just want to leave you guys with one final just response to that.
Okay.
if Ballard can be, you know, the most football guy ever, but if he can't close the deal, that's part of the job. And the Chancellor of Germany in 1917 said, when does incompetence end and criminality begin? I'm not saying we're at that point, but it's looking dire. And, you know, there's just too many holes to fill by the draft just for the purpose of protecting Luck. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got. I want to let you guys, you know, get to other callers and stuff.
Well, we appreciate your call, man. And thank you very much, giving, you know, everybody as usual with some great calls. So thank you, man. We appreciate you calling in. Jake, here's what we're going to do, my brother. The phone line shut down because I was an idiot and only scheduled it for 15 minutes on accident when I was creating this new link. There has to be more problems with this show, this live show. And so this is starting to, you know, get under my skin a little bit. And I think it probably is for most people as well. But as we speak, I'm creating another episode. So what I want to get from you, Jake, is I want you to kind of go through a couple of the names that we need to keep our eyes on. At maybe let's go with the linebackers, and then we're going to do a part two of this. We're going to do an entire new episode, get you guys to call back in so that we can get some more conversations with these guys. So hit us up with a couple of the top names that you're waiting to see what happens.
All right, so I've got kind of a list of guys that I put out this morning after, you know, all the tampering was done and all that. Some of the guys that I'm still looking for, there are still offensive linemen in play. Some of these guys have visits elsewhere. But Justin Pugh, I think, has got visits elsewhere. Cameron Fleming, Josh Sitton, Jonathan Cooper. We know Ryan Jensen is scheduled to visit the Colts this week. Quentin Spain, who is a restricted free agent from the Titans, they slapped him with a late round tender, so it would take not much at all to get him. Very small financially. So there are some quality offensive linemen still out there. So the sky's not falling. If they want to get some more bargain basement, edge rushers, there are still some guys out there like Aaron Lynch, Jerry Otauchu, Coney Ealy, and they had some interest in Benson Mayoa. You got your big fish out there, Sheldon Richardson and Dontari Poe. We'll see how that goes. But then some of the big boys I'm looking at are the off-ball linebackers. You still got Preston Brown and Zach Brown out there. Tahir Whitehead is out there, Marquise Flowers. So there are some quality guys still available, but pretty much all the top end guys are off the board for the most part.
Right. So, all right, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to shut this one down. We're going to end this episode. Jake's going to ring us back here in just a couple minutes at the new link, and then we're going to have a part two of the Colts official first day of free agency wrap up. Doing this, and sucks that we've got to put it into two shows, but we're going to do what we got to do. So, guys, we'll check you all out here in just a couple minutes right here on the Colts Cast.